no idea that a gun wrapped in a T-shirt he picked up would go off. Prosecutors say the gun is a high-quality weapon, which would not go accidentally off. The gun belonged to a Bureau of Land Management ranger who says it was stolen shortly before the shooting on Pier 14. Zarate is not suspected of stealing the gun. For more of the latest news, join us online at usaradio.com.
From the renowned author of The Harbinger and The Book of Mysteries, Jonathan Cahn brings his latest New York Times bestseller, A Mystery from the Ancient Middle East, foretelling the events of our time. The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. In his most explosive book yet, Jonathan Cahn opens the master blueprint that is now unfolding. The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. Available wherever fine books are sold.
Ronald McDonald, a very happy clown today. Sarah Lee Kessler explains why.
Turns out customers are loving the dollar soda deals and build-your-own burgers that are helping to bring customers back to the Golden Arches. CNBC reports global sales at restaurants open more than a year rose 6% for the third quarter. That beat the 4.5% increase expected by analysts. They say aggressive marketing, store renovations along with menu innovation, and more of a focus on digital ordering and delivery are all helping to drive McDonald's sales higher.
Family members of a Las Vegas shooting victim say she has a tough road ahead of her.
The parents of Jessica Malam say she's one of 10 Las Vegas shooting victims still in the hospital as of this past weekend. The 23-year-old still suffers from a partially collapsed lung and needs kidney dialysis. While she's not getting worse, it's taking longer than the family expected for Malam to recover. A street fair will take place in downtown Sanger next Sunday, which is Jessica's birthday. Proceeds from the fair will go to help pay for her medical care.
The Fall Classic getting underway tonight with Game 1 between the Houston Astros and the Los Angeles Dodgers in L.A. The Dodgers are making their first appearance in the World Series since 1988. The Astros are in the World Series for just the second time ever, having their lost previous appearance in 2005 as a member of the National League. The opener of the best-of-seven series will have each team sending their ace pitcher to the hill. Forecasters say it could be one of the warmest Game 1s ever. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Hey, this is Joe Peters, and we're going to do a show that's sort of a combination of Real Estate Matters and 55 Plus with my friend Lee Roth, who's sitting across the table from me. I'll introduce Lee in a few minutes. Before we get started, they've asked me to give you the weather forecast. So we have a preamble to the weather, which is this.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So it's Joe Peters again, and I'm looking at the internet weather forecast, and it looks like it's over. It looks like we're going to have to turn the heat on sometime in the next 48 hours. Tonight, it's right 74 today, and it's going to down to 53 tonight, which is comfortable, but it's not going to get above 67 tomorrow, which is also comfortable. But tomorrow night, we're back to 42. The following day, it's not getting above 61. That would be Thursday. So I predict we're going to have the heat on by Thursday, if you haven't had it on already. And then we're going to go down to 38 Thursday night, 64 on Friday, and then it's going to sort of repeat itself, not get out of the 60s in the daytime and the 40s at night. So not bad. I mean, if we made it to 2 months before Christmas without turning the heat on, it's probably a pretty good track record because we typically have it on by about mid-September. So let me get to a few paid commercials, and we'll be right back with Lee.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
So hello, this is Joe Peters, and I'm sitting here with Lee Roth, an attorney from Flemington. Say hello, Lee.
Hello, Lee.
Hey, it's like Goodnight Gracie. So we're on the air, and somehow we got introduced to each other, and I do recall it was Kate Roa who did that. And Kate is sort of what I call a cross-pollinator. She finds people that should be talking to other people and helps us meet each other. She also gave me her tickets to the Rutgers game, and we went saw Rutgers beat Purdue on Saturday.
Oh, so that would be a good event.
Thank you, Kate. And because I went Saturday, I sold my Giants tickets for Sunday and missed that massacre. The poor Giants are going nowhere this year. They had four wide receivers between them. Only two had caught the ball in the pros, and those two had caught 11 between them. So you tell me they had a chance against the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, they lost their best receiver with his what was it, an ankle injury?
Ankle, it looked like, yeah. Somebody rolled up on his ankle. So, Lee, you and I sat and talked about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and we went all the way back to your school days. Oberlin College was your pre-law, and that was in Ohio, I think?
Yes, it is, right.
Okay, and you were sort of a music major or a very high interest in music.
Well,
anyway.
I've had an interest in music, but actually I was a chem pre-med major, which is a little bit unusual, perhaps, for somebody who becomes a lawyer.
Okay.
But during about halfway through the four-year period, I had taken an economics course, and I began to switch over into feeding my interest in business and economics, and I ended up with more credits and points in the field of economics than anywhere else. So
wow.
I graduated as an economics major.
Amazing. And then from there you went on to Cornell. Great school. A little cold, but great school.
Well, it can be. I had the opportunity to write an honors paper in the economics department, and I thus worked with an individual professor. And I told him that I was contemplating going on to get a master's in business administration and considering Penn, the Wharton School. And he sat me down for almost an hour, and at the end of the hour, he had convinced me to go to law school instead of getting a master's.
Wow.
His approach was two parts. One, he knew from my history at school that I valued flexibility, and he said, if you go to law school, you can always go work for industry
right.
with the law background. But if you get a master's, and you can also practice law, but if you get a master's degree in business, you have to go to the industry and you can't practice law.
Okay.
And he had just written a paper that showed that a large number of the heads of the Fortune 500 came in various year gaps. There would be a period of 3 to 5 years where they came out of marketing, and a period
yep.
of 3 to 5 years where they came out of finance, and then a period where they came out of law. And his calculations were that if I went to law school right after college, I would be in that gap period where the leaders of these companies would come out of the law field. And that convinced me that I should go to law school.
Wonderful.
I had no intention of practicing law.
So an MBA program is 2 years. Isn't a law degree a little longer than that?
A law degree is three.
Three, right.
If I had gone to Cornell, I could have combined the four-year college and 3 years law and had 6 years total.
Okay.
But I went to Oberlin as an undergraduate. And
neat.
So I had my 4 years of college, and I had a good time at Oberlin. I worked hard. I found it a challenge. It was a tough academic school. But I think I learned a lot, and I felt reasonably prepared to take on the Ivy League law school. So
wonderful.
That's where I ended up. I had a choice. I could have gone to Penn or Virginia or Michigan,
yep.
but my mother was back here. I'd come from Flemington at that
point. Yeah, I meant to mention, too, you're a graduate of Flemington High School, so yay, Flemington.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of us around anymore because the year after I graduated from Flemington High School, Flemington High School ceased to exist. It became Hunterdon Central High
okay.
School. So I run into people periodically from my class, but not too many. Most everybody around here who says they went to high school in Flemington really means they went
Central.
To high school at Hunterdon Central.
Interesting. And a little bit of Perth Amboy High School. How did that happen?
Well, my grandfather was born in Hunterdon County over in Holland Township.
Right.
And there were too many boys in the family for the small plot of land they had to farm it. And he had carpentry skills. So he headed off to Perth Amboy to use those skills, and he became a carpenter and then a contractor and then a lumberyard owner and became successful in those activities in Perth Amboy, one of these people that I admire, successful, smart, blue-collar sort of guy.
Right.
And unfortunately, he lost his fortune in the big Depression crash.
Wow.
But otherwise, he was a successful and a very interesting guy.
Right.
Unfortunately, he died when I was between 2 and 3 years old, so I never really got to know him.
Okay.
But the family lore about him has always interested and fascinated me.
Wow. Wow. Some story. I'm thinking my uncle went to Perth Amboy and was a carpenter, too. And he went on. He passed about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 10 at this point. And he went to Alaska with his trade, and they made so much money in Alaska, he never left. Yeah, of course, everything cost as much as well. But,
well, Alaska would be an interesting place to go. One of my classmates in law school went to Alaska, and
okay.
I remember just some contact with him in the few years after we graduated, and he found it a very exciting place to be. I did eventually get to Alaska. I ended up putting it on my bucket list.
Okay.
And my wife and I managed to get a trip to Alaska for a week some years ago.
Neat. Neat. Yeah, I had several aunts and uncles. I guess one aunt stopped there on the way back from the Second World War. And then several others visited her and migrated up over time. And they were there. And we always had these distant relatives in Alaska. And then by the time I had enough money in my pocket to go visit them, they had retired and moved to Florida. So as I said, my uncle's gone. My aunt still lives in Port St. Lucie. And then all the rest are gone. So life goes on. You know, it's just good memories. I know my parents went up a couple of times and really enjoyed it. Well, I'm looking at your resume here. It is extensive. I mean, of all the things you've done, and it seems like your current passion, and I'm not so sure it hasn't always been your passion, is the harmonizers.
Well, I became a member of the 100 Harmonizers about 20 years ago.
Okay.
And that was about the time that I put this bucket list together.
Neat.
Oberlin was famous as a music school.
Mm-hmm.
It also, and this is less well known, it was famous for its science.
Okay.
And I had graduated from high school as a successful math and science student, and but my major passion at the time was basketball. I played on a Flemington High School basketball team that won 19 out of 21 regular season games.
Wow.
And I wanted to play basketball in college.
Yeah.
And my mother, who was the first member of her family to go to college, wanted me to go to Princeton or Dartmouth.
Okay.
And I went down to Princeton, and I saw the Princeton-Dartmouth basketball game. And I concluded that although I was a reasonably good basketball player, I probably would not be a starter at either Dartmouth or Princeton.
Yeah.
So I looked for a smaller school. And I knew of Oberlin because I'd gone to a camp in New Hampshire that was staffed with a lot of Oberlin students as counselors. And so I went out to Oberlin.
Neat.
And one of the neat things, of course, is I met my wife during the freshman year there.
Okay.
And we began dating and got to know each other, and she was a music student.
Uh-huh.
So she is now back here with me in Flemington. We've been married for, 57 years now? And she runs the 100 Symphony and is the concertmaster of that orchestra. So I married music instead of... But when I wrote the bucket list, a friend, and I did that because a friend of mine at that point died of cancer.
Hmm.
And shortly before he died, he looked me in the eye and he said, "Lee, have you done everything you want to do?" And I will tell you that a good friend asks you that question, and you and he both know he's dying.
Mm.
It causes you to sit down and think about, what have I done? Where am I going? What am I doing? What's behind me and what's ahead of me? And I decided at that point on a list of about 20 things that I made that getting somehow back into music would be interesting.
And right.
I had played the clarinet and piano when I was in middle school and high school before I came to Flemington, and decided I wanted to get back into some kind of music. I'd had the opportunity to sing in the Gilbert and Sullivan Pinafore, so I thought I would look for a Gilbert and Sullivan group. But I stumbled upon the Hunterton and Harmonizers, who were performing on the courthouse steps at a craft fair. And that was that. I was handed a slip of paper inviting me to come to their next rehearsal.
Right.
And I did. And 2.5 years later, I found myself on the international competitive stage in Indianapolis with the Hunterton and Harmonizers.
Wow.
And, our little barbershop chapter here in Flemington was 20th in the world.
That's
among 800 chapters at the time.
Very high accomplishment.
And, it's always a lot of fun to be successful.
Yeah.
And there we were. So we had a lot of fun doing that.
You'll have to let me know the next time you guys are having a recital, because I'd love to come. Just come and listen. And
I will see that you know the chapter. I haven't been singing actively with them in the last few years because
okay.
I've had some orthopedic problems.
Right.
I've had a knee replaced and a hip replaced.
Oh, boy.
I did not feel I could perform at the level I wanted to, so
right.
I have sort of pulled back. But they'll be doing a Christmas show in December, hopefully at Hunterton Central, if
okay.
they straighten out the events following a fire behind the stage. But
when did that happen?
That happened about a week ago.
Okay, because I remember I went to Fred Brown's, I guess it was a Boy Scout event about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it looked fine, so I didn't hear about
that. Well, they had a fire, I'm told, or I read, that the fire occurred in the prop closet backstage.
Hmm.
And I'm told that there was a concern that it was caused by the electrical system. So
okay.
they're now have contractors tracing through every bit of the electric
right.
system.
Right. Well, good, good, good. But, you know, of all the things you've done here, I mean, it's got to be 200 things on 7 or 8 pages. And let's put business aside from personal. Let's talk about personal first, then we'll go to the business. What is your most proud personal achievement?
Well, some of the proudest achievements are probably the family and my kids
right.
and being part of all of that.
How many children?
I have 2 children.
Okay.
I have a daughter and a son.
Yeah.
And they're both great, and I enjoy being with them. I made a decision when I got out of law school. Most of my classmates headed to Wall Street, as a lot of Ivy League lawyers did.
Right.
But from what I could tell, that was not going to be a life I wanted to lead.
Right.
I would have enjoyed making and having that much money.
Mm-hmm.
But as a friend of mine put it, he didn't really meet his son until his son was 14 years old.
Wow.
And I was shocked when I heard that, but I thought about it and talked to him about it, and he said, well, realize, if you're living out here and you have to get to an office on Wall Street by 8 o'clock in the morning, you get up at 5. Your
yep.
kids aren't around. They're
yep.
asleep.
Yep.
And you can't leave, especially as a new lawyer in one of these firms, until everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get home till 9:30 or 10 o'clock
mm-hmm.
at night. And you don't even meet your kids until
right.
they're teenagers.
Right.
And I said right at that point, well, I'm glad I didn't make the decision
sure.
to go into New York, because my son, for example, was the scholar athlete at Hunterton Central, and I think in his 4 years of playing soccer and lacrosse, I probably missed 5 or 6 games.
Wow.
And I would go to the games and look around and say, hey, there's about 4 or 5 fathers here, and there's probably 60, 75 kids from both teams.
Right.
What's the matter with these people?
And
I enjoyed being there and being part of the,
sure.
the life. And my daughter had art exhibits and other things, and I got to be part of all of that.
You tend to get a tiger by the tail. I know I've done it, and I can remember an elder statesman telling me that, you know, be careful, the kids are going to grow up and you'll never know them. And he wasn't far off. I mean, yeah. I would catch the 7 o'clock train in and the 7 o'clock train back, and yeah, you got to see them a little bit, but you weren't an integral part of their daily activity, and that takes its toll in a lot of ways. So I think you did the right thing.
Well, I think I did too, and I'm proud to see that both of my kids have lived that kind of life, and they've been very much involved in their kids, my grandchildren's lives.
How old are your grandchildren now?
Well, the youngest one is halfway through high school in Michigan, where they're in Traverse City High School.
All right.
And she's the youngest. The oldest is already graduated from college. She's walked the Appalachian Trail. She speaks two languages.
Wow.
She's flirting with, does she want to get a PhD, or what does she want to do with herself? Her brother, who's next, has been an auto mechanic, and he's now given up that job at the Honda agency, and instead he is in college part-time and working part-time.
Hmm.
And we'll see what direction he goes in. And the younger of the boys is in college right now in Colorado. He's a real outdoors guy and a skier, and
the
skiing brought him out to Colorado.
I can imagine. What a great town that is to go skiing in.
Any of those places.
You actually get off the airport and first of all, you don't see Alaska Air in a lot of towns. Okay, so it's a big hub for Alaska Air. And when you get off in Denver, which is, I guess, a hub to go to the different ski resorts, they have ski baggage compartments on the carousels, which I've never seen before. You know, it's more like an elongated golf club baggage. So,
well, my son lives in Traverse City area, and we flew up to visit him at one point, and I was amazed at all these long cases.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they were all rifles.
Really?
Because a lot of people who live in Chicago have vacation homes up in that area of Michigan.
Okay.
And many of them go hunting, so they bring their hunting rifles.
Right.
So we were on airplanes where I would say a third of the people on the airplane were armed. Now, they didn't have the rifle with them that went in the baggage compartment.
Right.
But when you got on and off of that plane, you saw plenty of weapons.
You don't have to go very far to find that even here in New Jersey. I mean, we have a hunting club on the edge of Kingwood and Raritan that I sold Victoria, the girl who does the accounting services. I sold her grandmother's house there. And I said, you know who's going to buy this? It's on 4 acres. You're next to a hunting company. A sportsman's going to buy it. I don't know what his name is. That's who you're going to market this to. And just sort of turn the cards a little. That's something that Kate and I work on now. If I can identify who's going to be the best suspect to buy this house, I can advertise to that profile and pay a little money, and they see it on Facebook, and I bring even more people in. So we're getting pretty scientific with social media.
Oh, you really can. I mean, yeah. I have always been interested in being on the cutting edge of the technology. I guess that's the science interest I developed pre-high school. But I've now gotten to be old enough that a lot of my client base from when I established my law firm has retired to Florida or died.
Okay.
And so I've said, hey, I've got to develop a new base because I want to continue taking care of the clients I've had for a long time that are still around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the process of trying to bring in a couple of lawyers that are going to carry on the practice.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we look? And that's how I got involved with Kate, because I said, I think I know what my message is and what I want to say, but how do I get it to the right people?
Right.
And so I've been working with her because she's principally a researcher.
She is.
And gets into finding how do you find the right people and what message do you need to get out there for it to reach them. And I've found if I put my name in a search engine, I have no trouble finding me and finding right. all kinds of things about me. But if I put in something like real estate lawyer Flemington, I'm not necessarily yep. at the top of the list.
And that's sort of my problem as well. No, nobody's looking for Joe Peters. They're looking for a real estate agent in Hunterdon County. So I have to pop up when that comes. But what I've done is I focused on two things recently. One is I moved my business to the east a little, and I moved my office over to Warren Watchung area, mainly because it's where the money is, as one of the bank robbers used to say. That's, you know, our high end here is sort of atrophying, dying on the vine, where over there it's also dying on the vine, but at about $1.2 million, where ours is dying at about $700,000. But the second thing was I'm trying to get more into the seniors development. So between those two things, she's been able to reverse logic and say, here's where your business is coming from, and here's where the people looking at houses in that area are coming from, and here's how we advertise back to that profile. We could actually go down and figure out when somebody comes onto my site where they live through Google Maps and look up their email and buy it, but you don't need to. I can just say, give me the people that are between 55 and 70 with this kind of a background and this zip code, and let me send some advertisements to them and get more of them to come look at the product that I'm selling, because that's where they're coming from. I'll give you a great example of how we've used this with Coldwell Banker. In Warren is an average of $950,000 sale price, and Watchung next to it's over $1 million. So those two areas are really high-end areas. And it's not that they have bigger houses than we have. They just get more money for them than we do, and they sell more of them. So we went backwards with Coldwell Banker and said, who's moving to Warren? And we searched the zip codes that they were coming from, and within the zip codes, the profiles, and we found out that the average person moving to Warren was coming from Brooklyn. And not only was he coming from Brooklyn, he was coming from Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. So we're now able to advertise Warren houses for sale in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, which none of our competition has the capability of doing it, and bring more people to us. So that's amazing. And you know what? It's won the last three presidential elections. I mean, these guys, I wasn't much of a fan of Obama, but his technology worked for him through social media.
Oh, it absolutely did.
And then the way Trump is doing things, I wasn't a fan of either of them this time, but he's the one we got dealt, so let's play the hand we got. He's using it very effectively to say what's on his mind. I'm not sure he shouldn't shut up half the time, but he's saying what's on his mind. And he's getting around what he considers to be a very fake news organization, and I'm not so sure. If you listen to CNN, you get one opinion. Listen to Fox, you get the other, and neither one of them are good. So it's just that there's about 80% of them are CNN and 20% Fox. So I don't know. That's a whole different conversation.
Well, it is, but zeroing in on the right place. I mean, I've always been interested in politics. I've been watching closely as I can the Flemington election.
Right.
Because I think that's going to have a really big impact this year. The whole question of do you preserve the historic
right.
aspect of Flemington, or do you say, hey, wait, well, that's passé.
Yeah.
That's like newspapers in the railroad. Let's change it completely. And that's kind of what the proposal is that's on the table that the mayor and the current incumbents
right.
are doing. And I think the Flemington election, and there are two seats up, I think that's going to be a determination of whether we hang on to the history or we abandon the history. And so I watch it with a great deal of interest. My office is on Main Street in Flemington.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see progress, but I also realize if they build an 8-story building right across the street from my office,
yep.
The sun will never shine on the front yep. of my building again. So I have mixed feelings about it.
Vested interest. I I know I wouldn't say we're at opposite ends, since I don't live in Flemington, but I do love architecture. I can understand where people are coming from. But my opposite thought is drive around and look at the back of that hotel, and if we don't do anything, it's going to fall down on its own, and nobody's been able to preserve it. So at least this is a way to keep where it was in place and put a facade up that looks somewhat like it looked like and help the town. So, but I totally understand. To drive through Flemington is a beautiful drive.
It is.
But we had this conversation. I mentioned I'm with the Flemington, I don't know, FCS, I don't know what it stands for, but it was a bunch of realtors got together to work on help filling vacant storefronts in Flemington to bring more business downtown. And the consensus, a very interesting consensus, was there was 8 or 9 of us. Not one of us lived in Flemington, but Flemington is the draw to our business. In other words, if we don't have Flemington as a vibrant center, and one of the realtors, a pretty young guy, but I would say in his 40s to 50s, so by my age, that's my kids are that old. So he said, I used to come to downtown Flemington. It was the place to go when I was in high school. Now it's not that image whatsoever, because the malls and the complications are enormous. One of the contras is, everybody thinks, maybe I shouldn't open stores. This is one thing thrown on the table in downtown Flemington, because they seem to be in a fistfight over this, whether the new project should go up or not. And it doesn't look like a place that's really got its act together. So maybe we're scaring businesses away having this open conversation about what we should be doing. And the other is that people can't really delineate where Flemington ends and Raritan Township starts. So they're saying, well, I'm still going to Flemington, but I'm out on 31 having dinner.
Sure.
Well, that's in Raritan Township. You're not helping Flemington whatsoever.
And well, I part of my history is I was the borough attorney for the borough of Flemington.
Okay.
Way back in the 70s. And they talked about a merger between Flemington and Raritan. And,
right.
And that failed by, I think, 1 or 2 votes.
Wow.
And I think that if they had merged, that would have been smart, because Flemington is the downtown of the greater Flemington area, the
right.
Flemington-Raritan area. Now, my home is 3.5 miles out of the middle of downtown Flemington,
mm-hmm.
and it crosses the line into Raritan Township.
Okay.
But my address is Flemington.
Right.
And my business is in Flemington,
yeah.
and I own property in Flemington. And I've been involved in Flemington ever since I graduated from high school.
Right.
10 years after I graduated from high school, I left a large elite law firm that was out of town, came back to Flemington and established my own practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here on Main Street ever since. And I've watched the progress or deterioration depending on what we're seeing.
Right.
There's no doubt, and I don't think anybody that's talked about preserving the Union Hotel has talked about preserving that back end, which is really was added on and is rotting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed with one of the people who speaks at the Preserve Flemington rallies, who's an engineer and does a lot of his work in New York City. And he has said that he has toured the Union Hotel, and the building itself, the whole front part is solid.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kitchen addition and some of the back that
mm-hmm.
Needs to go, and anybody who does it will need to go. When I bought the building that I'm in about 15 or 16 years ago, the back end was falling down. We had to put bottle jacks under the back and jack it up to make it square and plumb. And we had to hand dig a foundation under the raised back end of the building. But we did.
Yeah, and I see that a lot in older houses.
And it's a great office. We're comfortable
yep.
in it. Now, some of the borough people are talking about changing the zoning to eliminate offices on the ground floor because they want to see retail on the ground floor. The problem with their proposal is everybody who's on the ground floor is grandfathered, and they're not going to have to move.
Right.
And the only reason they're going to move is when the law of supply and demand says that there's enough demand for retail space that you can't afford to keep your office on the ground floor because you're going to get a lot more money in rent from somebody. And that's when I am ready to move from the ground floor. I like being on the ground floor. I have a wide age span in my clients, and I've had clients who've met other lawyers in my office because I am on the ground floor and they can't navigate the steps in some other offices. So for older people, they want to be on the ground floor.
I think we have some other circumstances around Flemington, and it's not just in Raritan Township, but it's in Hunterdon County in general. And if we're to attract businesses, and we are attracting businesses out on 31, I mean, they're ripping down the VFW Hall, and that's going to be the new Chimney Rock Inn.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting an Aldi up, which is a great European format over near, what was over there? It's over where Bed Bath & Beyond is in that mall, I believe. A great format. But where do we get the people to staff these businesses from? Because the traditional problem in Hunterdon County has been, as soon as somebody leaves to go to college, it's probably the last we're going to see of them. They come home for a couple of Christmases, and when they're out of school, there's no jobs here to support their four-year college degree, so they're probably going to go to New York or some other city. And I know from real estate, we typically get people moving back in between their first and second child, and that's a lot later in life, and it's not necessarily it's the people that left. It's just people that, like myself, decided, I want this kind of lifestyle. It's a quality of life that you can't find in many areas. But I talked with Mark Salek at length about this, and I participated in Mark's Hack Hunterdon thing. And he says, Joe, we're going to draw 30, 40 people to Hunterdon County to work in businesses that we have jobs in Hunterdon County. And I said to Mark, where are they going to live? You know, they may come here, and we may be able to afford to pay them $50,000, which is probably a pretty good starting salary for the area as long as it grows. But with $50,000, all you can do is manage maybe a $1,250 rent. We don't even have rentals for $1,250 anymore. They're usually
to start at $15 and go up.
Yeah. So the issue is, and I've had this long discussion with John Maddox, who holds Mark's job in Somerset County. I'm very involved in Somerset. He says, well, you build jobs, retail follows, housing follows that. I'm saying if you don't have places for the job people to live, they're going to go back where they came from. And that's the scary part, because you come out of college with a $350 average college loan, if you're lucky. It's a lot of money you got to carry and pay. That's your car payment. So you're looking for mass transportation. There's three things we don't have: mass transportation, city water, and city sewer. That's our infrastructure cross that we carry. So you've got to be able to drive, and we don't really have the jobs that in abundance pay a lot of money here. So the people that are working here are the kids that are going to college till they go through the RVCC phase if they're going to a two-year, or come back and work during the summer till they're gone, and then we're starting the next group. Yet we're opening up and down 31 businesses. I don't know where they got the people for. Costco, I understand they give really good benefits. You can get benefits at about 20 hours a week, and there are 15 hours a week. So that draws people because we don't have a lot of companies paying benefits. But when we had Roy Rogers, it was Chick-fil-A, I think, and some of these others. I know I was talking to the fellow that's the principal at North, and he was saying, they're in here offering my kids $14 an hour to come down to Flemington to work. It's unheard of for high school kids getting $14 an hour when the minimum wage is 8 or 9. It's an ongoing problem, and it's one of the things that we're getting pushed as an industry to work on locally, is to say we need starter housing, not bigger housing. We've sort of said you've got to build on 3 acres or larger, you've got to put up a certain style structure, you're not going to put up $200,000 houses on 3 acres. So we're building bigger houses, and as a result, nobody's buying the bigger houses. We stopped building them. So we haven't really built, other than the toll rubbers on 31, anything really new in more than ones and twos in the last 10 years. And it puts pressure on the housing.
Well, years and years ago, the theory that created the apartment buildings on the right. edge of Flemington at the foot of Thatcher's Hill was that this was going to be where our kids started out.
Right.
And then when they had children, they'd move out into our houses in the township.
Yep.
And we would move into the apartments in town so that we could still be in the neighborhood
right.
where our kids were raising our grandchildren. Now, that's not exactly what's happened out there.
Right.
Then when Raritan zoned for planned residential developments and Flemington South sprung up
mm-hmm.
and Stonegate and Village Commons in South Main, these were all projects that I was involved in as mm-hmm. the lawyer for the developers. And you could buy a condo in Flemington South for $44,000. But the law of supply and demand does overcome anybody's plans.
Right.
And once the housing was out there and built, we had a steady increase in the price of that housing. There were some smart people that had the money and bought four condos in Flemington
yep.
South. And a year later, they flipped them and made 50% or more return on their initial
right.
investment. And because many of them leveraged, they made 100 or more percent on their actual out-of-pocket investment. So I happen to, and it's part of my economics background maybe, I'm a bit of a free market sort of guy.
Yep.
And I think the law of supply and demand will take care of that. I understand some of the businesses actually bus people in from the Oranges and other places in order to staff their businesses.
I can believe that.
The care centers, the fast
yeah.
food places. And, you know, one thing I've observed, and I consider myself, somebody asked me, what do you really do? And I said, well, I'm a full-time, lifetime student. And I study everything around me.
Right.
And one of the things I've observed in that process is people at all levels are fairly ingenious. And I don't care if you've got an eighth grade graduation or a PhD, you find a way to get it done. That's the American
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
And when you have people, and there are many of them, where they're two income families and they're making substantial amounts of money. We see occasionally, we do a lot of real estate closings, and we see occasionally the financial statements people have filed in getting a mortgage. And
mm-hmm.
you've got two people in a young family each earning over $100,000. They're working hard. They're exhausted. But they have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so they buy their kids or they rent a BMW for their kid who's
mm-hmm.
in high school. That kid doesn't want to go work.
Mm-mm.
For the minimum wage somewhere. He doesn't feel he needs to.
Right.
The kids who do will work because the employer is smart enough to create a fraternity of these kids. And they go there for the social life. Getting
right.
the check they get is a side benefit.
Right.
But, you know, you look and watch how these businesses staff up. I was involved with the Business Improvement District for a while, and one of the issues was when you would have events and bring substantial numbers of people to town, were the businesses open?
Mm-hmm.
And many of them weren't. They would say, wait a minute, it's a weekend and I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be open. Well, among things I've done is I've reviewed leases for businesses that are opening in major malls and shopping centers. Well, the owner of that mall has control.
Right.
And if you're not open by 10 o'clock in the morning and still open at 9 o'clock at night,
right.
You violated your lease and you get all kinds of penalties.
Yep.
So they're always open. I go to the Bridgewater Mall because they have an Apple store.
Okay.
And I have an iPhone and I have an Apple computer and
yep.
my office is staffed with Apple computers. And that's the nearest place I can go to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm there, there's a lot of other places that are open that I walk past.
Right.
And I've never been there to deal with my iPhone or my computer when I have not observed that William Sonoma is open and a lot of these other places that I might drop in. When you come downtown to Flemington, you don't know who's going to be open.
Right.
And sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. It's inconsistent. If the Flemington merchants got together and created an agreement among themselves that they would be open every Thursday night till 9 o'clock,
right.
And if they would sustain that system and that process long enough so that everybody would know about it, and if the Business Improvement District, or that it's now the partnership, if they would promote very strongly that that's what this group is doing and the group was really doing it, I think you'd find Thursday would be crowded in there.
And Anne, who's running it, she's the new Flemington Partnership Liaison Manager, whatever her title is, seems to be good for the role, is saying these are things that have to happen. If we're going to have a movie in town at the courthouse one night a week to draw people in, we need the businesses open so that they can see it. And it doesn't have to be open when they leave, but at least open when they come in. We need some restaurants. Somebody aptly said there's no liquor licenses in downtown Flemington. Now, I don't drink at all, and Marilyn has a half a glass of wine with dinner, but she wants a glass of wine with dinner. And a lot of times we're going to dinner and haven't thought about anything, so we haven't brought a bottle of wine with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll purposely choose a restaurant because it has a liquor license. So there's a lot of things at play here, keeping the stores open, having some restaurants that have liquor licenses or maybe a shared liquor license. I think that's one of the things Custlers, so I'm not going to push that. But it's not an easy thing to solve because over time it got to be what it is, and to get it back what it needs to be in order to bring more business downtown is going to take a concentrated effort and a lot of elbows leaning in the same direction.
Well, it does. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's been a little bit of alleviation in that the rules have changed just a tiny bit, that the local wine producers can sell their wine through some of the restaurants that don't have licenses.
That's interesting.
And they can only sell in one or two or three places. I don't know all the rules.
But we need to get that word out.
But if they all do that and if they promote that,
yep.
And again, that's the kind of thing that the resources that the partnership or the bid will
right.
be able to do once they've got their arms around it. The limitation for Anne is I think she's very talented, but she's also very new here, so she's
yeah.
learning and
she's
getting
Philadelphia.
Her feet on the
she's
ground.
She's Philadelphia, not Flemington, and I think she'll transition well, but she's trying hard.
Yeah.
So we've got 3 or 4 minutes left, Lee. What items are on your mind you'd like the constituency to hear about before we break?
Well, I just think that people need to get involved in the community.
Totally agree.
I've been involved all my life. I've had, and my wife has as well. Do we want to have a symphony orchestra? Well, if we do, then people have to enjoy it, support it,
right.
be part of it, volunteer to help it. If we want to have a good, strong Boy Scout or Girl Scout program, people have to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, and it's an overarching thing that I have been preaching for years, you cannot join something you don't know about.
Right.
And so there has to be this effort. I've talked to Anne about the idea that I would like to see one day a year that there's a major parade down Main Street of all of the scout organizations in Hunterdon County, and that they all have little booths along the side of the parade route to recruit people to join their group.
Right.
I'm an Eagle Scout.
I saw that on your resume. Congratulations.
Nobody was an Eagle Scout. It's like the Marines. You're
yeah.
a Marine or you're not a Marine.
Yeah, you're
well,
darn too.
You're an Eagle Scout or you're not an Eagle Scout.
I almost made it. Discovered girls, and I was told that's one of the three things that stops people from becoming Eagle Scouts. But
I think that the scouting movement is
yes.
is important, and that's a way to pursue it. I think another thing that I'm looking forward to seeing happen is at least three times a year we change our sports outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a way, fortunate or unfortunate, most of our sports activities go all year long. If you play soccer, that's all you do and you play mm-hmm. all year. But there are other kids then playing basketball, and there's another group that comes around and plays baseball or lacrosse. I'm looking forward to seeing a parade down Main Street at the beginning of the spring season with all of the baseball players and all of the lacrosse players. And
we got Kimmy Goetz in the Olympics this year.
Yes.
We have our own Olympics. I had her mom on here. And, we have a lot to be proud of in this town and getting the town to be aware of what we have.
But you've got to know about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing, and I'll never be able to control this, I wish I could, I'd like to get rid of a lot of the negative discussion on social media. People find it easier to say why we can't do something than
right.
why we can do something. And I think that if we can get people out there saying, hey, you know, Flemington is really a great place, and let's get out there and let's enjoy it, let's deal with it, let's help it, let's move things along. I've taught a little course or program for barbershoppers on marketing and promoting your chorus.
Okay.
And one of my themes is you can't join a chorus you don't know about.
Yep.
So you've got to get out there. Just
yep.
as I was shocked when I first saw the harmonizers perform on the courthouse steps. I had never heard of them. I was very active in the community. My wife was active in the
right.
music world in the community. And I looked up there, and there are four people I knew very well singing among the 50 that were up on those steps.
Huh.
And none of them had spoken to me about singing with the harmonizers. Now, they might not know that I was or wasn't
right.
interested in singing,
but
every one of them knew that my wife was a musician, so
yep.
there's a fair chance I had an interest in music.
Yep.
And, you know, you've got to get the word out. And unfortunately, the weekly publication of the Democrat is not what it used to be.
No.
So now we've got to depend on social media to let
and
us know
it
what's
happens.
Happening.
I was involved with the 110 Helpline for over a year, and I'm on the board of the Realtors, and I just joined the Rotary in Bridgewater, which my business is more centric there than here. But still, I want to be in both counties very active. I went through the 110 leadership program. This year I'm going through the Somerset leadership program. I understand there's a state leadership program, so knock on wood, maybe I'll make it up to that level some point in time. But I don't want to be a leader. I want to be somebody who said he made a difference, and that's all I'm looking to mm-hmm. do. So, Lee, I appreciate you coming on. I know it's taking you away from your busy schedule, but I'm going to hold open, and maybe we do this once a year and just sort of air out what our feelings are.
Joe, I've been delighted to get to know you better, and I've always been active. I've been slowed down the last few years.
Yeah, we all get there.
With a knee and a hip replacements that I've experienced, but I'm still active. I still get out and about, and I think if everybody does that, we're going to be the place
Great.
Everybody wants to live.
Well, thanks again for joining us. If you'd like to talk to Lee Roth directly, you can contact him at his office. His number is...
It is 908-782-5317. And if you can't remember that, it's 782-ROTH. That's a different number, but it rings on the same phone.
That's cute. My name's Joe Peters. I'm with Coldwell Banker, and I can be reached at 908-238-0118. I thank you for tuning in, and there will be a replay on this. And hopefully, if you've enjoyed something of what you heard here, you might suggest to one of your relatives or workmates that, hey, that's worth a listen. Be here again next week, and we're going to have Al War, who writes for the Democrat, will be joining us next week. Thank you for joining.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's important that we find out why that deal went through,
And certainly in view of recent allegations that have been made or recent questions have been raised, it's essential that this investigation, this inquiry, go forward.
New York Congressman Peter King announcing a probe into Obama-era uranium deals with Russia. House Republicans said the investigation will be taking place today during a Capitol briefing. The Obama administration signed off on sales of uranium to a Russian company that controls about 20% of America's uranium supply. A man is under arrest after shouting at President Trump and throwing flags at him as the president walked through the Capitol this afternoon. The small Russian flags were thrown at the president but never got close to him. The man was overheard shouting something about treason and was quickly arrested by the Capitol Police. And Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, who had been running behind in recent polls ahead of his re-election campaign, announced he's not going to run. USA Radio News.
For many businesses, hiring is tough, which makes it critical to choose the right place to post your jobs. You need qualified candidates fast and on budget, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Independent research shows Indeed delivers 6 times more hires than any other